Sunday News.
It's time for the Sunday Morning Funhouse Show with Trade Martin and Jimmy J. Now listen up, guys. A lot of people are listening to this, so you better make it fun. Stand by. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're on.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Trade Martin, Sunday Morning Funhouse. Hope you're out there with us, and hope everything is going fine for you. Our number here is 347-838-8898. I mean, I had the number for 3 years when I've been told you the number, and I couldn't even say the number. 347-838-8898. My buddy Freddie Hudson is going to call in, fellow harness horseman, good guy, and I knew his dad, and he'd been on the show a couple of times. We're going to talk about the Safe Food, Safe Horses Act that they're trying to put through in D.C. about the slaughter of horses, and a couple of ladies that are involved with the organization. So they're going to be calling in soon. But I want to tell you about the thing that's very funny is about the emails with Hillary. So, you know, I mean, Barack just said that he didn't know about this whole thing with the really classified emails that they can't even release and show to the public because he didn't know about it until he heard it on the media, probably on Fox News. You know, he's probably monitoring Fox News, and he probably heard it. And Donald Trump is still hitting it. He's ahead in Iowa. Looks like he's gonna come on top in Iowa. The last poll on Bloomberg shows him like 7 points ahead of Ted Cruz in Iowa. So let's see what happens. And Ted Cruz has been getting some bad press from the people lately. I don't know what's going on with that. I like Ted. We like Ted Cruz, you know, and there's a lot of nasty stuff going on between him and Rubio. And Rubio's really hitting it now. I hear somebody on the line with me. Who's on the line? Somebody on the line?
No? Well, I'm on the line, Trade. Freddie here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Freddie, what's happening, Fred? How are you?
Hey, how are you doing? Good. I didn't know that I was brought in just so soon.
Oh, well, that's, at least put you on right away. But I told her you were calling in.
Okay.
But I want to talk.
Yep. Go ahead.
Wait, you want to introduce me to the ladies first?
Well, I was going to say that I think that three ladies might be calling in. Reader Wright, Joe Claire Corcoran, and Nancy
right.
Watson. I'll just let you know that. They're the organizers of the Safe Food, Safe Horses Coalition. And we're in. Yes?
Yes, Joe Claire is on the line.
Okay. And we were in D.C. the last few days, going and meeting with our Congress representatives, trying to get them to put the bill on the floor for voting. It's the Safeguard American Food Exports. The act would prohibit the slaughter of horses in the United States for human consumption, as well as the export of live horses for the same purpose. I read that directly.
Okay. Well, Joanne is on the line. Joe Claire. Cochran.
Hi.
How are
Good
you?
Morning.
How do you pronounce
Hi.
Your last name, Joanne? I see it
Joe
here.
Joe Claire.
It's Cochran.
Joe Claire Cochran. I see.
Yes.
I got you. All right. So, listen, let me ask you this. What congressman is the main – there's got to be one main guy that you're actually going through to talk about this, isn't there, that's going to set up the legislation for you? Is there one main guy?
The main person who would, of course, hold the absolute most influence in the Senate would be Senator Mitch McConnell. And then on the House side, Poland, because he chairs one of the committees that the bill sets in.
I see.
So it's, pivotal that we have their support and their championship of the bills, because
Absolutely.
They can get everybody else to do what needs to be done.
Well, the thing is, I was asking Freddie, did they tie this to a bunch of other things, or is it a
It is a standalone. Yes, it is a standalone bill.
That's important. Okay, good, great. And are the House of Representatives trying to get a budget together for it? Is that how what you need for this?
No, that's the nice thing about this. There would be no budget necessary in essence because banning the slaughter of horses in this country and then banning the transport of the horses would actually eliminate the need for the salaries in the FSIS, Food Safety Inspection Services, and APHIS to inspect or oversee the transportation of these horses for slaughter. Right now, in the appropriations, the omnibus bill, there is a defunding aspect which has defunded the antemortem inspections of the horses for slaughter. So that's why currently there are no slaughter plants in this country for horses. That is something, of course, that has to be renewed every year.
I see.
But by passing the SAFE Act, that would actually eliminate the need for that oversight because the only horses that would be allowed to cross the border then would be those going for other purposes besides slaughter. The paperwork necessary for horses going for other purposes, not slaughter, is actually much more cumbersome and more detailed and more expensive to do. So you would get to the border crossing, and if you had a trailer or you were a kill buyer with a trailer packed with 38 horses, you wouldn't be able to cross because you wouldn't have the appropriate paperwork. You couldn't afford to do it. So that's why
that's
it really wouldn't require anything.
Funny thing is that's happened to me a few times coming from Canada with a couple of horses. And, you know, of course, you always have to have the right paperwork.
Right.
I have a story where when I was going up to Canada as a recording artist that I am, and we're going to do a big concert up there. This is a number of years ago, and the guys got on the bus and said occupation. When I said entertainer, you know, singer, they had everybody get off the bus because they thought we had drugs. So everybody got off the bus. What are you talking about? I got a lot of border crossing things.
Right.
And then we got stopped a couple of times with the horses too, but they let us go because we had the proper paperwork. But I understand what you're saying. So what's going to happen though? Joe Claire, is that I guess people are gonna—they don't like that in Washington when you defund something. Though that's what I'm worried about. When you lower, they don't want to ever lower the. I love it. I love that they want to restrict the monies, but they don't want to lower anything like that. But I'm sure this is going to go through because a lot of people empathize with horses and the slaughter of horses. I mean, it's just, it's unthinkable to me, you know, almost.
Right. But the key issue with this bill and the really the true importance in this is about food safety because we don't raise our horses for food in this country under the food safety guidelines. You know, if you're a cattle rancher and you're running 600 head of cattle, each of those cattle have an ear tag with an identifying number, and the medication records of that steer or heifer or whatever are maintained. And if that cow or whatever has a medication that's from the banned substance list on the FDA, then that animal can no longer enter the food chain.
It can't be in the food chain. Yeah, it can't be food.
Right.
It can't be.
But for horses, there is no such regulation. Every item, as a horse owner, you would know, every item, every medication substance we use on horses states, banned for use in horses intended for human consumption.
I've seen that many
because
times.
We just don't do it. Right. So the real crux of the issue here is that we are sending, knowingly allowing, an animal that has not been raised for food to cross the border, international borders, to be shipped for slaughter. So immediately we're violating international food trade agreements right there.
Absolutely.
Our food safety inspection agreements and all and international trade agreements state that we will inspect the foods, the exports that we're sending, either to our standards or to that country's standards, whichever are higher.
Right.
Well, for instance, the EU has actually much higher food safety standards than the U.S. does.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Uh-huh.
Yes, yes, actually much more stringent. They have about 100 medications and substances that are on the banned substance list. We only have 15.
Really? That big a difference?
Yes.
That's
yes.
amazing to me. Wow.
So, and they're not alone in that. But the, like I said, the real crux of this is that we are sending these animals for consumption to an unknowing public. And the problem is that the meat is finding its way back into the U.S. market now.
Oh, really? I didn't realize
yes.
that. Uh-huh.
Last year, in August, Chapman University released a study where they gathered commercially produced ground meat products throughout the U.S. They gathered 48 samples. Of those, two samples tested positive for equine DNA. Now, the other aspect of this is that we import billions of pounds of ground meat and beef from Mexico every year. There was a study that was done that found that 39% of the ground meat produced in Mexico contained horse meat.
Wow, is that unbelievable?
Yes. So we are feeding not only to others in other countries, but to ourselves, our children, our parents, whomever. Adulterated meat. Basically, it's toxic waste. We give our horses, well, if you're a horse owner, you know we give our horses Bute.
Bute is adrenaline, sure.
Right, it's like a horse aspirin.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that was pulled from the market for human use in the 70s because it can kill people. It is considered to be a hypersensitive drug. So there is actually no way to come up with a safe dosage for human consumption, be it through direct ingestion or in a food supply. And, of course, it never leaves the horse's body. It's stored in the liver.
You know, I mean, I had some horses where we would give it to them almost every day because of their because of their feet. You know, their
mm-hmm.
It helps their feet. But let me ask you this: how about, you know? I know there's a lot of I remembered noticing that there was a lot of horse meat in animal foods and in dog foods. Is that am I right in saying that?
No, they stopped that in the 70s.
Did they? Oh, okay, good.
Yes.
I haven't looked lately.
They said it was unsafe for the pets.
Right.
Absolutely, it would be, sure, if it was unsafe for us, too. Yeah.
Well, and see, we have, we use dewormers, so like ivermectin with our horses.
Right.
And there are certain breeds of dogs, collie dogs, anything with the collie mixes and things. They're extremely sensitive, hypersensitive to ivermectin, and was killing them.
Uh-huh.
So they removed it from the pet food supply. And there was actually a study done of, I forget, about 50 different pet foods that they checked for DNA, and not one single one tested positive for equine DNA.
Really? Wow.
But yet we're finding it in our human food.
But I got a feeling, though. What about China? Does China did they check anything with the DNA, the equine DNA in the Chinese food, and anything from China?
They haven't checked on the imports yet. They were only checking commercially produced foods. But see, the problem is now that we've had to remove or rescind the cool labeling because the World Court. We don't know where that meat's coming from now. When you go to buy that package of hamburger, it used to say product of Mexico, Canada, USA.
Mm-hmm.
Now it will just say product of USA because it is processed here. It's packaged here.
I understand. So we're not talking about its original origin, which may be Mexico or or Canada, but we're talking about that it's processed here. That means it's USA food, but it's not really. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Hmm. Very, very interesting scenario, I'll tell you that. Has this
makes
been,
one think.
Yeah, it sure does. Joe Claire, has this been on, I mean, it sounds like a good 60 minutes program, a good, almost like a documentary kind of a show, you know, that could be done. You ought to look into that. Has it been done?
We would love to, and no, it hasn't. I was contacted actually by a producer with the Doctor Show back in 2011 when the omnibus bill, the defunding language, was removed.
I see.
And it was not included in that bill. It was put in with the continuing resolution of that year's budget. But so they had actually contacted me about coming to be on the show and talk about this issue. And then when the defunding language was included back in the continuing resolution, they canceled because they didn't feel it was any longer a threat.
I understand. I see. But it sure is an interesting topic, and it should be spoken about. It should be spread around because Freddie is the first one that brought my attention to it, and I never knew about the legislation. Now, what are the chances? I mean, it sounds like you're going to get this legislation through, I'm sure. But how soon is it going to go through, Joe Claire? What does it look like?
Well, this is the second congressional session that this bill has been introduced. And
so the first time it didn't make it. The first time it didn't make it through?
It just never gets out of committee.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
And that's our problem now. We need a committee hearing on both houses, both the House and the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
It is in two committees in the House, the Agriculture and the Energy and Commerce.
Right.
And in the Senate, it's in the Health Committee.
I see.
And we have, well, what we need is a simple majority also in the House for co-sponsors. We need 34 more co-sponsors. If we could get a simple majority, then that would put us in a different position as well.
I understand.
What do we have? We have 184 right now in the House?
I believe so, and we got the one Congressman Graham from Florida co-sponsored as a result of our lobbying there this past week.
And we got
so you're lobbying them one by one, I guess, huh? To get them to vote on this thing. Interesting, boy. This is a tough one.
We met with probably about 100 representatives the last 6 days, last 3 days, excuse me.
We did. We had a team of 12 people, and we broke up into teams of two or three, and we tried to pick who we needed to see and would be play a pivotal role in getting this bill passed.
Now, being we have they're on the campaign trail, but you have Rand Paul, who's from Kentucky, right? I mean, Kentucky would be a pivotal state to talk to about horses.
Yes,
and and New Jersey is a big state for horses too. It's very big, but. Are you pointing at that in that respect, at that kind of thing, like especially like a horse-oriented state? Are you pointing at that stuff?
We are trying those, but what we're really looking at is who's in charge and blocking in the committees as well.
I see. Right. I see.
For instance, Hal Rogers from Kentucky has always been against this bill.
Really? And what reason would he say he would be against it? That would be very interesting to me, that he would be against this, that anybody would be against, a bill that could cause damage to human consumption. That's doesn't make sense.
What we hear, as a matter of fact, I had a meeting with Congressman Morgan Griffith, who is from Virginia.
Yeah.
And actually, I lived in that district. He was quite hostile to us, who his aide was, from the moment we walked in.
Really?
His statement to us was that the congressman was on record opposing this bill, and nothing we could say would change his mind.
Oh,
and
wow.
The reason being was because the farmers in his district wanted to be able to dispose of their horses to the slaughter pipeline if they wanted to do so. It's a personal property issue. And my response to him was, I'm sorry, but Farmer Joe's personal property issue on his one horse does not trump the food safety of millions and millions of people.
Absolutely. No, of course. But now, listen, let me ask you this. I don't, you know, this is really a political show. I mean, we're, you know, and I told Freddie, and I don't know where you sit politically, but I'm not going to put down either party because both of them are very corrupt. But but I think Republicans are a little less corrupt than the Democrats. That's my opinion. And, you know, of course, Rush Limbaugh and Mark Levin are both not very close friends, but friends of mine. So I'm in that mindset. But where does this guy sit, Democrat or Republican? That's interesting to me.
He is a Republican.
He's a Republican, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And
okay.
For the most part, I mean, this really is a bipartisan issue.
Oh, of course it is.
And so it does really astound me when we have comments like that, because to me, I don't care what side of the fence you sit on, when it comes to public safety, and it's such an easy fix that
it shouldn't have anything to do with party. I was just wondering,
right?
Even that I brought it up was a little stupid, but I just wanted to see where he sat politically. But I can understand. You know, I can even understand the guys. They don't want to defund anything, and because they'll be putting people out of jobs. The guys that inspect all this stuff.
There's only one guy.
Right.
It's only one guy?
Right. And he has other duties, so he wouldn't lose his job.
I see. Well, that's good.
Back about 6 years ago, because of budget cuts, they cut about $30 million was the first cut, I believe, and then $10 more million from the Food Safety Inspection Service. And what that did, I mean, horse slaughter has already ended, in essence, because of defunding. That had occurred in 2007.
I see. Okay.
But
the shipping,
this,
you're concerned with the shipping, is the shipping of horses across the border and across state lines for slaughter.
Right.
That's what you're really
concerned
with.
Well, it's both, because any moment in any omnibus budget, they could remove the language that defunds the anti-mortem inspections.
Mm-hmm.
And then people would be able to apply to open a horse slaughter plant again in this country. And there are those who, Congressman Griffith was one, who wanted to reopen. He wants to rescind the defunding language and be able to open slaughter plants here.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the reasoning is all because of a personal property issue, and they say, well, what are we going to do with these unwanted excess horses? Well, the horses going to slaughter really only account for about less than 1% of the total horse population in this country. It's a number that's easily absorbed. If
right.
you no longer want, if Farmer Joe no longer wants his horse, for whatever reason, he can sell his horse. He can take his horse to auction and sell it to someone else. He can have a veterinarian come out and euthanize the horse. Or he can walk out with his gun and spend a dollar on a bullet and put the horse down very quickly. But he doesn't have the right to dump that horse into the food supply chain, a horse that is full of toxic chemicals that can cause birth defects, parasites that can cause schizophrenia or the symptoms of schizophrenia, bone marrow suppression, and even
I agree. Well, the thing is, we don't like to even hear about horses being killed like that, but I understand that it would be more humane to do that because of the millions of people who would be affected in the long run with the toxic horses. I understand what you're saying.
Right.
But, I mean, the amount of money that Farmer Joe, whoever he is, could get for a horse that he wants to get rid of, I mean, what could it be? A couple hundred dollars or something like that?
That's
I mean,
about
the Amish. The Amish come and they buy a horse for. What about the Amish? The Amish situation. Do they do the? Do you know anything about the slaughter tactics of the Amish?
Well, they send them to the auctions just like everybody else. New Holland auctions, Sugar Creek, are full of Amish horses. You know, their philosophy on an animal is a little different. It's a tool for them, for
right,
the most part.
Right.
There are some that I've encountered who feel differently. They do love their horse or care for their horse.
Right, right.
But it's pretty much a tool, a farm implement.
Yeah,
work, in essence.
Like a car. It's like a car.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Yeah.
So you do see a lot of horses that are just discarded there that are very lame, draft horses that have been worked to just the bones and lame and really should have just been put down.
Boy, this is a really, really interesting situation, very touching situation. I have a thing out. I have a video on YouTube called The Horse's Prayer. And at the end of The Horse's Prayer, I recite it to some music that I did, and it's got a lot of hits. It's only been on about a week and a half or so. But at the end, it says it begs the owner, the trainer of the horse, not to sell him to someone who's going to just slaughter him or turn him out to freeze to death and stuff like that, to take his life humanely. You get to take a listen to it. If I would have prepared more for this show, I would have had it so we could have played it. It's about 3 minutes long, but I want to listen. I'm going to have to wrap this up, and I want to continue this conversation. It was very interesting, Joe Clay. You're very interesting. You got your stuff together, and I appreciate that when I hear somebody.
Thank you.
So of course, and so does Freddie. But I want to talk more about this stuff. You know, the next couple of weeks, let's talk more about it. And I'm hoping that you can get your enough people and enough committees going that you can push this through, because you are going to have that kind of stubbornness from some of these congressmen, like you did from those guys. I'm worried about Farmer Joe.
And your listeners need to contact their congressmen and senators.
Okay. We're going to do that.
And tell them that they want the Safeguard American Food Exports Act, H.R. 1942 and Senate 1419 to
All right, send me those. You know what? Joe Clare, send me those numbers. Send me those numbers.
Okay.
I'm going to, get them, and I'll... We'll tell a lot of people about it. We will. I'm interested. I love the topic, and I think it's a very valid situation. You know, because it does affect our children and the health. Health is the most important thing in anything. So without health, I mean, you may as well forget about the whole thing. You know, money doesn't mean anything. Nothing means anything unless you have your health.
Yep.
Anyway, listen to the Sunday Morning
Funhouse. Bad health becomes an expense for the taxpayers.
Oh, my God. Of course it is. Of course it is. Joe Clare, thank you very much. Freddie Hudson, appreciate it.
All right, great.
We're going to talk more about this. Get me that info on that. This is the Sunday Morning Funhouse. We weren't talking about fun things this morning, But we appreciate you listening. And this is Trade Martin. We'll see you on Wednesday at midnight. We're going to talk about the Iowa caucuses and, you know, all different things with the election stuff. But this is a great conversation. Thank you very much for being with us today. We will talk to you soon. Have a great day, everybody.
Great.
Trade
great,
Martin.
Great,
thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome.
Today in news.
This has been the Sunday Morning Funhouse Show with Trade Martin and Jimmy J. I hope you had fun. It's over. We have cake now, guys.
Today in news.